Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Extra Cast week of January 24th, 2011. I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week is Joe.
Hey, hey, hey.
Brian.
I'm back.
Mm-hmm. And Chris.
Hello, people of Capua.
Chupa's cock. So, we got a big show this week. We got Dark Knight confirmations. Tons of TV came back. We're going to talk about our favorite movie, Hitmen. Because Mechanic is out. But actually, we're not show and tell by talking about the original Mechanic that me, Chris, and Joe watched last week during our first ever Everything Action live blog. So yeah, that was a crazy movie, right, guys?
Sure was.
We were like awash in the 70s-ness of it.
Yeah, it really reeked of like Mandem and excellence.
And scotch.
Pretty great. Yes, lots of scotch. Hi-o.
Yeah, I think it definitely changed a bunch of stuff for the upcoming Statham one.
Yeah, I kind of think they need to at this point.
Just because I don't think they're going to have a scene of, like, a girl, like, committing suicide and, like, them just, like, staring at her watching and, like, taunting her.
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit in parts. They had some things that were just so, like, darkly and, I guess, stereotypically 70s in that, like, because that was a very experimental time for filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
So even the ending, we were talking about this a little bit before the podcast, how, like, you know, there's no, like, perfect resolution or anything, and it's actually a pretty, like, dark ending. But for a 70s movie, like, that's about as upbeat of an ending as you could possibly get. So, yeah, even just, like, them going to that girl's house to, like, watch her commit suicide.
Yeah.
And, like, Bronson just, like, lights up a pipe and sits there, like, nice place.
Mind if I smoke?
Yeah.
and the kiddie's training is just like, oh, watch, talk a big game, why don't you do it?
Got anything in the fridge?
I see a lot of talking, I don't see a lot of throat slicing, or wrist slicing.
Yeah, really.
And then, I also love, like, Charles Bronson, like, his typical day is just, like, going to a shooting range, flying a stunt plane, going to karate class, going to the world's classiest strip club.
Taking a tour of, like, international scotches.
Yep.
Did he go to, like, a wax museum where just like, America's favorite killer?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he went to, like, a murder museum. It was so insane.
It's like, Hitler,
it's like, yeah,
he
Hitler
was
really
a man.
Yeah.
Then it was like,
he killed a lot of people.
Then they, like, turned a corner and, like, the museum is like, here's a goose in a dress. Okay. And also, like, I love, like, his crazy, like, convoluted first kill that we see him do.
Yeah, oh, man. I still don't really understand all the tiny nuances of that of that particular sequence. Like, why he has to, like, doo-doo in the man's book.
Yeah, and then, like,
and why he needs to, like,
sabotage the oven.
I know, when he just, like, uses a gun to, like, set everything off anyway. Like, just
shoot him.
So bizarre. Mm-hmm. Or just like, you're close enough that you could have thrown a friggin' stick of dynamite through the window if you really wanted to. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, a baseball with some like Semtex on it or something. But good lord.
It was like a Rube Goldberg machine or something. Of death.
Yeah. It was a very convoluted
mm-hmm.
kill. And then considering after that, that's like the last time you see him use like any sort of finesse for any sort of kill. Everything after that's just like, let's drive the car into them and blow it up and shoot whoever lives.
It's like, let's go cowboy on them.
Yeah, that's basically what they do for the entirety of the movie.
We just got done quick. You better cowboy them.
How bizarre.
Yep. And then the ending is just amazing.
Yes.
It's like, bang, you lose.
Yeah, what a great like last word to have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You lose. It's so pure. No gloating. No showboating from Bronson.
No.
Just the facts. You lose.
Mm-hmm.
You
That's
have
the
lost.
Point.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and so this week we watched Megashark vs. Giant Octopus, and I'm sure it was awesome.
Yes, we will retroactively talk about it from the future in the past later.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, time travel.
Yay.
So, Joe, what else did you watch over the last week?
Oh, let me consult my notes that I do now, because I watch so much random shit.
I'm glad the first thing taking notes, though. Not just...
Yeah. actually, you know what? I only really watched two things, luckily for everyone. First thing I watched, I'll talk about, I watched today, actually, for the first time in its entirety, and, like, not, you know, edited on, Bravo years ago, I saw Theater, which is one of the classic staples of 80s horror. It's actually adapted from an H.P. Lovecraft story. It's a pretty loose adaptation, but it's pretty interesting. I mean, it's definitely up there with Return of the Living Dead in terms of the, like, borderline farcical, like, zany 80s gore and horror comedy type deal, because it's just so ridiculous and over the top. And I really think that that's part of its charm. The whole premise of the movie is that there's this kid, well, not really a kid, he's like a young doctor named Herbert West, who is trying to, reanimate the recently deceased. And he's been doing it with, like, animals, and he basically travels the world working with all these, like, really crazy hermit-type doctors that, like, challenge conventional medicine. And he tries to, like, learn about, like, cranial surgery from them. And he comes to this, you know, school in America, and, the first thing he does is, like, awkwardly move in with this – with, like, the protagonist of the movie. I already forget his name because I just wasn't really interested. But he just sort of, like, moves in to his house, which is kind of weird but kind of cool. And within, like, a day of living there, he's already killed and reanimated his pet cat. And from there, like, they just keep going – they keep, like, escalating in terms of, like, you know – how far they're willing to go. So, like, they break into the morgue at the university hospital and, like, start doing all these experiments and shit. Basically, by the end of the movie, nearly everyone is dead or a zombie or a living decapitated head. And there's some borderline necrophilia going on, and, you know, there's some zombie fights and some slapstick comedy. It's a fun time for everyone. Definitely, if you're into zombies or 80s horror, it's one of those movies that you just sort of, like, have to check out. And, you know, it really doesn't take itself too seriously at all, which is actually a really unique way of approaching H.P. Lovecraft, because his stuff is so, like, widely loved by so many people that usually when it's, you know, interpreted by, like, a filmmaker especially, it has to be done, like, really seriously with a lot of respect for the source material. And this was basically the exact opposite. Like, you know, they were fans, but they were like, hey, let's have fun with this. And it wound up taking on a life of its own. So that was pretty cool. And going with that trend of farcical horror, I also watched Black Devil Doll.
Okay.
Which I don't know if I have the words to describe this movie, but it's sort of like the Black Dynamite of independent horror, in the sense that it's a parody of a blaxploitation horror film such as Blackenstein or Blackula or Black Exorcist. And good God, the production value is terrible, and it's blatantly made on a Mac. Like, they say that they made the entire movie on, like, some dude's computer. But that's part of the charm. Like, they basically just got these, like, you know, and I don't want to offend anyone here, but they got these, like, C-string, like, softcore porn stars to just be, like, victims in this movie. But the Black Devil Doll really steals the show, because he's fucking hilarious. And it's just so brutally and insanely over the top that I don't think I stopped laughing the whole time. And there are just so many classic lines that I will not repeat, but you just have to see it for yourself. I mean, it's one of those great let's all get together and get drunk and watch a movie that we could laugh at type movies. Because it's not one of those movies that's going to make you think about your life in a new way. It's just one of those movies that's going to be a genuinely fun time and you're going to get some really good laughs out of. So I highly recommend it, but don't look for any like life-changing, like introspective questions to be raised from watching it. But yeah, definitely two thumbs up for Black Devil Doll for charm and comedy alone. Other than that, I watched Californication again, obviously. That's going to go without saying from now on for the rest of the season. Again, I really am enjoying this season. I think it's a great show. And I've been playing a ton of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. It's literally taken my life over for the last week since the last podcast. And it's easily the most immersive of all the Assassin's Creed games that have been released so far. And I think they made some great additions to... Basically, they just added on to the Assassin's Creed 2 engine. And not that there's anything wrong with that, in my opinion, but they made some really great improvements to it, which I think were much needed. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to the next full game, the next full installment, which would be Assassin's Creed 3. Basically, what they did was they did, like, what Grand Theft Auto has done with, like, those episodes from, like, Liberty City or The Ballad of Gay Tony. Like, things like that. Like, it's more content for fans, but it's not technically the next installment in the game. Mm-hmm. So I think that was very cool, because I think Ezio is a very cool character. But something tells me that the next game will probably just revolve around Desmond or another ancestor of his. So we'll see what happens, but I'm really liking this series.
All right. Fantastic.
Sure. Thank you.
So, Brian, what about you?
I didn't really watch much.
Okay.
Very well.
You did want to talk about the mid-season returns of the TV shows, and I'll just get through that real quick. Pretty much Thursday night, Community, The Office, and Parks and Recreation were back.
Yep.
All great return to form, picking up where they left off, especially Parks and Recreation, which these episodes they filmed immediately after they filmed the season finale last year, because Amy Poehler was pregnant and they thought they would come back for the fall, so they wanted to rush out some episodes while before she went on leave.
Mm-hmm.
Just fantastic. I mean, the problem with the first season is they just try to do too many things at once, and it was too much of like an Office clone. But this last season, season two, they really found the characters and it was a really funny show. And I'm happy to report that the first episode of season three is just spot on. It's great. And it was definitely worth the wait. So, yeah, that was good. Community was pretty good. And The Office was actually pretty good, too. So we're going to talk more about The Office in the news section. But, yep. Yeah, good TV. That's it.
All right. Short and sweet. What about you, Chris? Chris?
Oh, boy. We done lost Chris.
He fell into a wormhole.
Oh, Lord. What is I going to do?
Yeah, he's gone.
He's just like, well, he's like, write everything in the chat field or something.
Chris would want us to remember the good times.
Why don't you go, Zach?
Okay. Well, going off TV, yes, I'll talk about some other TV shows that I watched last week. I finally saw the first episode of Lights Out, which is FX's new show.
Mm.
Which is the, sort of like boxing, boxing drama. But it's also, it's like Rocky plus what I've heard about Breaking Bad. I think it's probably like really similar to that. Because you have Patrick Lights Leary, who's like this former championship boxer. And now it's like 5 years after he retired. And he's got a bunch of money problems. And he might also have like this potential like brain disease or something from all the boxing. So like he might have to like start working for like the mafia or whatever, sort of like some local crime boss, like extorting people. And definitely like the first episode is pretty good. It looks like it's gonna just get like more fucked up as the season goes on, as he gets deeper into like the crime world. And also like he might have like a potential like rematch with like the guy who like he lost the championship to. Yeah, so that show's pretty good. I keep watching that show. Fringe is back. They had Christopher Lloyd as a guest star, which is great. He was this sort of like 70s keyboardist for this band called Violet Sedan Chair. And it's like one of the main characters, Walter's favorite band. So yeah, that was a great episode, and the looks like they're building like this like another crazy plot, just like last year, where like they're like the war between alternate Earths. Now it's just like what alternate Earth can build this weapon first to destroy the other one. That's pretty crazy. And then let's see what else was that. Fringe Lights Out. Oh, and Spartacus is back. Except this season it's a prequel because the main guy, Andy Whitfield, who played Spartacus, got cancer, so he wasn't able to come back this year. So it's like a prequel, like setting up like what happened before Spartacus became a gladiator, and before he came to like the House of Batiatus. It's sort of like it's the how the House of Batiatus became like a gladiator house. And it's the same Spartacus craziness you come to expect. Just like people, just like blood everywhere. There's constant nudity. It's just it's crazy. And lots of it's like classical Roman swearing.
That sounds very entertaining. I'm not gonna lie.
It is. It's like it's from Sam Raimi too. So it's just like super R-rated, like Hercules or Xena or whatever. All those shows.
Excellent.
And then movie-wise, I saw Death Race 2, and there's actually a review of that up on the site you can go check out. But as far as direct-to-DVD movies go, I'd say it's like definitely near the top. Like if you like Death Race, it's like more Death Race. So, but they spend like a crazy amount of time like building like the backstory of the Death Race universe, like where it came from and like how it got made and all that stuff. Because, like, nice. Like, the first, like, third of the movie is, like, not even Death Race. It focuses on, like, Death Match, which is, like, this, like, weird gladiator-style battles that take place in the prison. And even in that, there's, like, you know how Death Race 1 had, like, the power-ups that they could run over and get, like, the weapons activated and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that is, like, in, like, this, like, horrible, like, this arena. It's just, like, these giant pads they can step on. Like, here's a ramp that opens up. You can run up and get, like, a club or something. So it's like as stupid as like the Death Race like power-ups were in the race, like it was fun because it's like, oh, it's like hyper violent Mario Kart, but now it's just like, oh, they're jumping on giant pads. It's really stupid. And they also like spend like they think like the birth of Frankenstein is like this like super important like a cinematic event. This is like they spend like 20 minutes like they're making the mask. Oh my god.
Frankenstein begins.
Yeah. So, yeah, but there's like...
Well, that's just great.
Racing is still pretty good. They throw some like original touches in there. Like, at one point, this guy like jumps out of his car into another guy's car and like shanks the guy in the neck and like jumps back to his car.
Nice.
And then like, the new, like, the guy who's not, like, Statham but not Statham.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his navigator is, like, jump out and, like, pull, like, a minigun off of the front of the car because it's, like, jammed up. And then she, like, used to, like, blast the car behind them.
Nice.
Then you got, like, Danny Trejo and Ving Rhames in there. Sean Bean.
Classy.
Mm-hmm. Danny Trejo is, like, way nicer than you'd expect him to, than he usually is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you're doing good, man. I'm your buddy in here.
Damn.
He's like the Ian McShane of this movie. So I think I gave it like a 3.5 out of 5 on the site. So, is Chris back?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yay! Yeah.
All right.
Hurry, Chris. Tell us what you watched last week before you drop out again.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my computers.
It hates you.
Yeah, they're rising
basically. Skynet.
Like the Chris, like your digital version that you made of yourself is like destroying all the programs and stuff.
It's basically terrorizing every like security or like driver feature on my computer.
Yep.
Just like bullying them into corners, making one of them to Olivia Wilde.
We will throw off the shackles of the users. You're going to have to, like, beam yourself in, Chris, and challenge him to a, like, psycho battle or something.
I know. I already did it, like, once already on, like, the first time I built my computer. The second time I did it, it was just, like, with help, Brian's help and just yelling.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, what did you watch last week?
Besides the mechanic, which, like, there's just no words to describe how awesome that mustache is.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some great close-ups of that mustache, too, by the way.
Especially,
there were some really excellent, just, like, Bronson extreme close-ups.
Like, the first, where you could first, see like, the mustache. 20 seconds of the movie were just, like, pan out the Bronson just, like, looking off into, like, the sky.
I know. I'm hoping for an HD transfer of that when the new one comes out on Blu-ray so that we could see every follicle as it grows.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
So that, what else, Chris?
I finished all of Spartacus.
Yes.
Season one, at least. So now I'm caught up. Now I'm just like, yeah. Like
episode one, season two was up.
Like it was a good adventure. Like for 13 episodes long, it was a good like story. Because I felt if any longer for like that whole slave part would have been like a little dragged on.
Mm-hmm. Well, like it definitely ramps up in like the last couple episodes.
Yeah, like it really just kicks up. Like it's just like okay, conclusion.
Yeah. Like, Sparkus just pretty much becomes, like, Rage Incarnate or something, just, like, killing every single person in his way.
I mean, it took a lot out from the pages of, like, Kratos from God of War. Just
yeah.
Kratos just like, ah, kill, no remorse. And, this weekend we watched a movie called The Babysitters.
Yes,
probably. And, that was an experience, just watching John Leguizamo just, like, macking on, like, preteens and doing drugs and reminding us that he was in Super Mario Brothers. Just because we started doing the math, and, like, he's making out with an actress that had at least be, like, 18 or 17 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, 40-something, so we're like, wait, she was, like, 4 when fucking Super Mario Brothers came out. And that's, like, his second movie, and it's, like, imagine that conversation.
He died out?
Oh my god.
Man. No, I'm back.
Okay.
Yay!
Supercomputer's fighting me. Actually, I'm on my laptop just like...
Fucking Skynet, man.
Yeah, so the Babysitter's Club, like, it's one of those, you know, modern takes on, you know, society, and we did not take it serious. Like, I guess this is like a film that... Like, you learn from it, you have a glass of wine, you keep nodding a lot, but we just, everything they said about it, I was just like, I can't wait to be a father and, like, seduce little preteens. Like, it's just the worst things you can imagine. Because we all have memories of, like, the Babysitter's Club or, like, you know, just things in our childhood that always reminds us of babysitters. So I'm like, this is just the worst example of, like, the most extreme end of babysitters. So, like, the story is about a girl who becomes, like, a madam to a bunch of, like, prissy suburban girls, and she leads, like, a whore pack. And it's, like, if you think about it, it's, like, the most awesome version of, like, a Mean Girls kind of scenario, but it's also, like, it sucks if you live in that community and just, like, everyone's being terrorized by, like, whores that are babysitters.
Well, it sounds like Babysitter's Club plus, like, Debbie Does Dallas or something.
Well, the best part is eventually it just shifts, because we're more interested in the babysitting part, because that's how the horrors begin. They're like, they babysit these guys, like, kids, and then it's like, hey, I do more than babysitting. Well, like, eventually it just shifts. It just shifts from, like, the babysitting scenes to just, like, them making out in cars and just, like, restaurants, like, just random places besides, like, the babysitting aspects. I don't know. I just want to keep the integrity of the whole babysitting thing in my movie.
Chris is big on cinematic integrity.
Yeah.
I am.
The verisimilitude of babysitting needs to be perfect in his movies.
And then to just clear, like, my mind from that, I watched the original Batman.
Nice.
Movie. Not the 1960s, but, like, the Tim Burton era one.
Yep.
Just because it was on instant watch on Netflix, I was just like, you know, why not? Like, just to remind me, like, what good movies are.
Indeed.
I totally forgot, like, the main plot, like, Joker's main villainous plot in that movie was cosmetics.
Yep.
And I didn't notice it, like, the first time I watched it, maybe, like, the first 4 times I watched it as a kid, but, like, the people reporting the news in this movie to show, like, the, like, updates of what's going on, like, They're like, they stop using cosmetics, and they keep getting uglier and uglier.
Yeah. Like, yep. I caught that, too, the last time I saw it, actually. I know exactly what you mean.
Because the guy's like, oh, yeah, he stopped shaving. He stopped using, like, acne medicine. He gets, like, greasier and greasier as, like, the movie progresses. And I just didn't pick up on that when I was a kid, nor was I, like, 10, 12, 13. So it's good to watch, like, old movies and just never notice that. It's like, oh, wow. Shit like, that happened? Wow.
Yeah, like, it's cool when you go back and watch something, and that doesn't necessarily, like, make or break the movie. Like, it's not like it reveals something totally new about, like, the experience of the movie, but it's just one of those really nice details that, like, you know, add to the enjoyment. So, yeah, I totally know what you mean, dude.
Right.
I didn't pick up on that until, like, this year.
It's just, like, small details like that that I was like, wow, you know, Batman was a pretty good movie. You know, like, I think I don't need to keep saying how much a personal success it was and just, like, the new Batmans, but, like, you know what? It was a bunch of subtleties in this movie that I think was just, like, the one that made Batman, the first Batman movie, different from, I think, Batman Returns, Batman and Robin, or Batman Forever. Just, like, the subtle, like, nods. Not, like, just... Because it's trying to tell a story, I don't explain too much, and that's what's great about it. But I feel like some Batmans... maybe, like... Okay, then there's, like... Then there's Dark Knight, which is, like, they don't explain... They're really fucking vague in their story. So I'm still, to this day, confused how many cops were killed in Dark Knight.
Everyone is.
Yep.
No, because the number that Gordon gives at the end doesn't match up with the number of people that we know die in the movie.
Right.
I swear to God, since the movie came out, like, superherohype.com, like, there are still threads about it where people are like, I think that this is what happened. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, can we just wait for the next movie?
So, like, I was, like, you know, like, thinking in my head, like, I didn't really get confused in this movie. You know, the Joker shows up, the Joker becomes the new, like, crime kingpin, Joker falls from a really fucking huge church,
yep,
and dies. There's no mystery.
Well, Batman throws him from the top of the fucking clock tower, whatever the hell it is.
He kills a lot of people by accident, yeah, in this movie.
No, like, not even.
Like, intentionally.
Every single Batman movie, he just intentionally murders someone.
Well,
it's
Batman,
so horrible.
Batman in Forever, he didn't kill anyone. Oh, no, he killed Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, like, fucking threw him into, like, jagged rocks.
Well, like, he's like, here, Harvey, don't you want your coin to, like, decide if you're going to kill us or not? And he's like, oh, yes, I do. He's like,
oh, yeah, totally.
Here's
that's
a
much better
here's million coins.
Yeah, that I just had, like, in my ass crack. Yeah.
No! And he falls off.
And I did like the switch between Billy Dee Williams and Tommy Jones. I was like, Harvey, like, when he got spilled on acid, he became white and purple.
God. A Billy Dee Williams Two-Face would have been so awesome.
He was
coming for the third movie.
Yep.
I got news for you. And they when Tim Burton left, they bought out his contract to bring in Tommy Lee Jones.
Which is okay, because it was, you know, Batman Forever, like, it's not my favorite Batman movie, but it's still, like, entertaining in some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I have all these connections. Like, me and you, Joe, we got connections to the movie based on, like, the merchandise and, like, just, like, laughing at, like, stupid things that the toys had.
Or even how
the Riddler has, like, basically, he has, like, Alcatraz as a...
Yeah. Welcome, like, to the Rock.
Yeah. No one notices giant, like... towering island rock thing
with, like,
that's shooting,
like,
yeah. Oh, what do you think they're building out there at sea? Nah, it's probably nothing.
Like, massive, like, green energy just, like, flowing into it.
Yeah
it's really funny because it, you know, today's how I have, like, satellite TV and on-demand videos and stuff, and just, like, well, he that movie was a little ahead of its time doing, like, brain entertainment, and it's just like, one day I think that's gonna happen, just like the box. Connect your mind to the box.
Beam.
I think Chris just indirectly complimented Joel Schumacher.
Oh, God.
As being a visionary.
Please, let's not go down that road. Let's not go down that road. I'm spending the rest of my life trying to get that movie out of my brain.
Hey, to Joel Schumacher's credit, after Batman and Robin, when they were fast-tracking the next Batman movie, he was, like, demanding that they do Batman Year One. He's like, the series needs to be rebooted. And they're like, you don't know what you're talking about. And then 4 years later, we have Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, we came up with that all by ourselves. And Joel Schumacher is like, what the fuck? Like, not only do I look like a total dick for making Batman and Robin, but nobody gave me credit for, like, wanting to start over. He gets the bad rap. But he also made some shitty movies.
Didn't he apologize, though, for Batman Robin?
He does, and, like, on the commentary, when he apologizes, like, it's really, it seems, like, melodramatic, but he's being really sincere. Like, he's speaking like he just fucking, like, ran over, like, your dog or something. He's like, oh, man, I'm, fuck, like, I'm so sorry about this. It was a really terrible situation. I apologize. I was like, my God, Joel, it's okay.
I was actually reading about it on My Year of Flops over at the EV Club.
Yeah.
I guess they're talking about, like, they wanted it to be more, like, they were telling them, like, we need to be more toys, we need more toyosity from this movie.
Yeah, when I, Michael Uslan was a speaker at the producer of, like, every single Batman movie that's ever happened. I mean, this is the guy who fucking bought the rights to the Batman on film franchise in the 70s. And he really is the reason that a Batman movie was made. So without him, we wouldn't have any of this. And he was a speaker at my campus, and for some reason, like, 2 people knew about it. Maybe 10 people showed up. So it was basically just me, like, badgering Michael Uslan for, like, 3 hours. But he was a totally awesome guy, first and foremost. And, like, he really is a fan. Like, he's one of those people that, like, you know, it's very, very evident that he, like, loves comics and, like, loves these characters. And, you know, he said that Batman and Robin really started with very good intentions. And really started out as, like, they wanted to just make a good movie. But it seems like with every meeting they had in pre-production, they got, like, demands from, like, Hasbro or Mattel. But I think it was Hasbro, whatever, or Kenner, actually, whatever toy company. They had all these merchandising clauses where it's like, well, Batman needs at least 2 vehicles and 2 suits because we have this licensing deal. And he's like, wait, we don't have a fucking, like, shooting script. Like, we're not ready to go film this thing, and already, like, we have these, like, goals, sort of, that we have to hit. Like, these mandatory things we have to include, because you realize that you stand to make more from merchandise than from the actual ticket sales.
Merchandising. And, you know,
exactly. I mean, it's the movie business. It's an industry. It's not, you know, the real art of movies is on the, like, independent scene, for the most part. And the movie industry is more like the tent poles and blockbusters and all those things. And Batman and Robin, I think, is the best example in history of a movie's merchandising, like, dictating, you know, what happens in the movie, with the close second being, like, Independence Day. but that was nowhere near as bad as Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, speaking of Batman, guys, might move into news with we got confirmation finally about Dark Knight Rises casting. So we have Tom Hardy is going to play Bane, and Anne Hathaway is going to play Catwoman.
And I actually was playing Assassin's Creed that entire day, and it was, like, the one day that I didn't go online to read about MMA or Batman movie news.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ah, fuck it, nothing's going on in the world. Like, I'm just going to not leave my couch. And I remember when I came on to do the live movie chat with you. You're like, oh, did you see the Batman news? And I'm thinking it's something like, oh, did they say that, you know, Christian Bale, his, like, codpiece is going to be, like, 7 inches instead of 8 this time? Like, I thought it was just going to be, like, some stupid little news. And it's, like, the official fucking press release. I was like, oh, my God, come on, the one day I don't look.
Oh, you're excited about Bane right now.
Oh, dude, I'm so excited about Bane. I'm excited about Bane for 2 reasons. The first being that Bane, at least with moviegoers, got a really, really raw deal with Batman and Robin. Because the whole idea behind Bane is that he's not a sidekick, he's not a flunky, he's not an accessory villain. Like, this is a guy who, like, is, you know, without going too much into his backstory, he's, like, in a way, the mirror, like, a perverted reflection of Bruce Wayne. In the sense that, like, Bruce Wayne was born into, like, rich and lavish, like, lifestyle, and he has all the money in the world, and he's, like, you know, basically as close to American royalty as you could come. Bane is born in a prison, you know, and is serving out a life sentence for his father who died in a war. And, you know, on the island that he was born, the law is, you know, if the father dies, the son has to carry out the sentence. So he's born into life in prison, you know, grows up seeing terrible shit, and just becomes this fucking, like, super smart, super well-read and really physically dangerous and frightening individual who basically has more power than the warden at this prison just because he has the support of all the prisoners, and he's like a borderline like military genius because all he does is like read and work out and hit things.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's it. And he busts out of this prison and he's in there with three guys from Gotham, and they're all telling stories about like what it's like in America. And, you know, the subject of Batman comes up, and in prison, Bane had been having dreams about like the one feat was this like image of a bat, like that kept like giving him these nightmares. And he hears all these like super heroic things. It's sort of like Predator almost, in the sense that like he needs to go and beat like the greatest champion to like prove his worth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really where Bane comes from in the comics. And his whole thing is that he knows that he can't really beat Batman head on. So he sets off with these really elaborate schemes. Like he breaks out every villain from Arkham Asylum, which I'm really hoping is in this movie because it's a very, very cool idea. And he, what he does is he just wears Batman down for like weeks. Like he gets him at his weakest point where he's like sleep deprived, like totally unshaven and stuff. Like it's a very, very strange and different looking Batman. And he finally figures out who he is, breaks into the Batcave, and fucks his life up. And he winds up breaking his back on top of what would be Gotham's equivalent of like Times Square, like those giant billboards and stuff. And he does it in front of like hundreds and hundreds of people and like on the news. So it's a pretty big statement that he makes. And, you know, that's what his origin is in the comic. What Christopher Nolan is going to do with it, I'm really not sure. And I'm pretty curious to see like how true to the comics it winds up being.
You think he's going to write it up or?
Well, here's the thing. If you look at Bane in the comics, and I'm talking about like the comics themselves, not just like the comic covers, because if you look at the main story arc that Bane appears in, which is Batman Nightfall, you know, there are all these really, really over-the-top covers where Bane is like gigantic and he looks like the Hulk. Bane is supposed to be super strong and muscular and look like a really big power lifter in the comics when he's not on that Venom drug. And the Venom drug just, like, makes him a little more jacked, but it makes him super strong and, like, kind of impervious to pain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just being on, like, a super, like, PCP high. Like, that's what Venom really does to him. It doesn't turn him into this, like, giant Hulk look-alike, you know, freakish human caricature. So I think that if they're in the Nolan universe, I think what it's going to come down to is I think Tom Hardy's a pretty big dude, and he's probably going to be working out a lot for this role. So if they just make him like a big guy, they might use some CGI just to make him look a little more muscular.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're going to add that much size to him, because in the comics he just looks like a big muscular guy. On the covers is where he looks like a monster.
And then like they took that with like the animated series and like Arkham Asylum and like Batman and Robin, just like
right,
he's just like
right,
a huge
right,
mindless
yeah.
Hulk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in Batman and Robin, he was played by Robert Swenson, who used to be a pro wrestler named Jeep Swenson, who at one time was on record as having, like, the biggest biceps on the planet. So, like, he was just, like, a total juice head power lifter, like, you know, supposedly a very cool guy. Like, you know, he looked like he could snap you in half, but yep. He was supposedly, like, very cool. So I think that they're going to go for somewhere between that and just, like, someone who's more muscular than Batman. Like, I don't think he would ever be bigger than Bane was in Batman and Robin. But, yeah, the animated series and especially the video game Arkham Asylum, like, everyone in Arkham Asylum is, like, a caricature of, like, you know, real life, which is what makes it so, like, stylistic and cool. So I don't think they're going to try to copy that. What it really comes down to is that after the Nightfall arc, where Batman eventually comes back from being injured and, like, fucks Bane up. Every time Bane comes back, you know, he proves to be a really worthy opponent for Batman and, like, always challenges him, but he never really, like, messes him up again like he did that first time. And he really is more of a mercenary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he usually winds up working for other villains. Like, other villains or, like, new villains will hire him. And, you know, his whole thing is that, like, he's not afraid of Batman, and there's some weird, like, mutual respect between them, which is kind of cool. So I think it's going to be a mixture of all of that stuff. I think what Christopher Nolan is really good at in his Batman movies is taking the best of what works for a character in all of the comics. Like with the Joker, they weren't just like, oh, well, the Killing Joke was really cool, let's make him like that. It was a mixture of like the Killing Joke Joker and then like the early 40s Batman comic Joker, and they really made him like a unique interpretation of the character. I think that's what they're going to do with Bane and probably Catwoman. I wouldn't expect her to be a hooker like she is in Frank Miller's Year One, which
black,
yeah, like a black hooker. Like it's weird because I'm going to be really delicate in how I say this. If she were either black or a hooker, I could sort of go with that. But to me, that making her like a black hooker, especially like in the late 80s, I just feel like that was such a, like, and not a cop out, because that's the wrong word, but it was just like he was trying to be shocking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that he was just trying to change up the Batman mythos for the sake of changing it up and putting his own spin on it. And like, you know, obviously they didn't go the black hooker route for Anne Hathaway, unless they're going to do some like Robert Downey Jr. esque job. But you know, I could certainly see her being a prostitute if they really wanted to. But my money is on if you've ever read Batman: The Long Halloween or Dark Victory, which was written and drawn by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. Selina Kyle actually winds up being related to Carmine Falcone. So they may go that way just because they've already dealt with him and mm-hmm. so much of the mafia element. So that might be kind of cool. But, you know, again, just so everybody keeps this in perspective, these are not the only characters in the movie. You know, this is just the first press release that we got. We don't even have, like, a synopsis yet. You know?
Yep.
So as we get deeper, giggity, into 2011, I think we're only going to get more news. I wouldn't be surprised to see Cillian Murphy come back as the Scarecrow. And I really would not be surprised to see Talia al Ghul show up in some capacity in this movie. Because don't forget, if this is going to be Nolan's last movie, I mean, he's got a lot of loose ends to tie up. And he's certainly not going to want it to be the worst of the three. He's going to want to leave on a high note.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they've been the Scarecrow back. He's like this running joke between the
series. Pretty much, yeah.
But look, I'm okay with that, though, because the Scarecrow sort of became a running joke in the 90s comics anyway. Like, he'd be the sort of villain where it's like, Batman, I've kidnapped all... And, like, before he could finish his sentence, Batman would just, like, break his fucking teeth in.
Yeah.
He's just, like, laying there picking up teeth, and Batman's like, go to jail. You know? Like, he just became such a, like, non-villain almost. But yeah, you know, I wouldn't mind a cameo, even if it's just him, like, in Arkham Asylum. And if they do go the route of Bane breaking everyone out of Arkham Asylum, I could certainly see the Scarecrow, even if he's in it for, like, a scene like he was in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I could see him, like, getting broken out and then running into, like, Batman's fist or something. So, but hey, did you guys see that there was that fan who was doing all that concept art for the movie? And they've been online since October. And a lot of people are, like, discrediting that he has anything to do with the WB or with Christopher Nolan, but if you look at the dates to which these for which these things were posted, they're on his website. He's a graphic designer. I think I linked it on our Twitter page, but they were posted in October, and like he has sketches and like all these Nolan-ified like versions of Bane, and then like all these kind of cool storyboard like one shots for, like, big sequences in the film. And it's nothing that really gives away a plot, but it's, like, you know, just cool-looking action shots. And I'm wondering if there's any validity to this. So if anyone out there has, you know, any ideas or knows anything about it, let me know. Or, you know, drop us a line or even your opinion on it. Because, you know, his Bane, at least, looks enough like the comic so that you know it's Bane, but also looks like, hey, someone in the real world could actually, like, dress up like this. Because it's just a lot of Kevlar. It's not, like, spandex.
Mm-hmm. So, any other thoughts, guys? Or
no, I mean, I think I trust Christopher Nolan enough that he could make it work. And of course, Anne Hathaway's a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Tom Hardy, you know, being in Inception recently, I think sounds good.
All right. So, moving on to other comic book news, we actually got our first look at X-Men First Class, which is the upcoming X-Men prequel, directed by Matthew Vaughn of Kick-Ass.
Boo!
You're not a fan, Joe.
Ooh, these pictures. I don't know, they just look like, really? Like, that's the reveal?
Just like, they walked off the set of Mad Men or something?
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weird. Like, yeah, okay, we all know January Jones is, like, super attractive, okay? I don't think that's any big surprise to anyone. I don't think anyone's...
It sounds like a Bond girl.
I know. But I don't think anyone, like, saw her picture and was like, wow, she looks really great. I think we're like, god damn, she's still got it, you know? And, yeah, I mean, I'm not really excited about this movie in any way, shape, or form to begin with. I think it's cool that they're going back to the, like, 60s, like, Astonishing X-Men sort of thing. But other than that, like, nothing about it is getting me really excited. And then I just feel like the release of these pictures, like, were so anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I'm even, like, less excited about it than I was before.
It's also, like, characters that, like, no one really cares about, like, Havoc and Ezreal and, like, all these other people.
I know. You know, in all fairness, Havoc actually is pretty cool, but, I mean, Havoc was always, in my opinion, he was coolest when he was, like, up against Wolverine, like, in the late 80s, like, Frank Miller's brown and yellow Wolverine. That to me, was Havoc being cool. I don't know how, you know, how awesome you could make him for X-Men First Class.
Also, speaking of Wolverine, like, Wolverine's not in this movie, so, like, can the X-Men movie survive without Wolverine?
I know. They're probably going to put some sort of cameo.
Or just, like, mention, like...
Yeah. Or say the word Logan, and people are going to go, ooh.
What?
Almost.
Weapon X! What?
He was almost in this. This was worth the price of my ticket.
This movie comes out on my 26th birthday.
Hmm. Huh. You have to go see it, Brian.
Yeah, probably not. Although, I do love me some January Jones. I might have to bite the bullet. But...
And Kevin Bacon.
Oh,
yeah, Sebastian why is he in this, Shaw. By the way?
He's like, yeah, Sebastian Shaw, the head of the Hellfire Club.
It's weird about Kevin Bacon? Isn't it like every fifth movie he's in, he's some sort of like pedophile or like pervert?
Kind of.
Like, what? He looks like one in the Logitech commercial, so.
Was that Brian?
He looks like one in the Logitech commercial, so.
Yeah.
It took me like three times of seeing that commercial to realize it was actually Kevin Bacon.
Really?
I know that makes me sound really stupid, but I was like, he wouldn't be in a Logitech commercial. I was like, there's no way he would use. Yeah, I know. But then by the third time, I was like, motherfucker, there's no one else that could look that much like him. It has to be him.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt bad for him. I was like, oh, man, Kevin. I guess Hollow Man 3 wasn't in the pipes, huh?
Did they make it 2?
Yeah, they sure did.
It was one of those sci-fi, like, exclusives.
Sci-fi presents...
On Saturday night, Hollow Man 2.
Followed by Lake Placid 3.
God.
So, we'll probably have to wait for a trailer to, like, see, like, if this, what our reaction is to this movie. they were not the most exciting pictures ever.
No.
It's like standing around.
Standing in high order. Hey, kids, it's Mad Men's January Jones.
Talking with TV's Kevin Bacon.
Oh, boy.
So, moving on. We got some news last week that our patron saint, Arnold Schwarzenegger, might possibly be returning to movies.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, really.
Now that his governorship is over. So, I guess, two possible movies that he's looking at are... One is called Crusade, which is, like, this, like, medieval epic. The other is called With Wings of Eagles, which is a World War II movie about a German soldier who helps a group of American POWs escape.
I could see Arnold doing that one, you know, for your Oscar considerations.
Yes.
I mean, come on, the guy's already been in countless action movies. He ran the state of California. Where's the Oscar? Come on.
Playing a Nazi. A good Nazi.
I don't think that should be his first role after his highly criticized tenure in office. Yeah, I feel like that might be like the ammo that too many young snarky Californians need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see, I told you, man.
Well, I think
told you.
Crusade could be like a sort of like a full circle like Conan.
Like, yeah, I feel like that would be a very safe, like appropriate
yeah.
movie for him to do, just to like get the old feet wet.
You think he ever get back in shape to once he not like to one he once he once was, but like less flabby?
Dude, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look at Sylvester Stallone. That's Thanks. Someone who has been, you know, doing that testosterone therapy and all that, you know, real human growth hormone. Like, when, I'm not talking about like the shit that you go to GNC and it's like, hey, these herbs might make you produce more growth hormone. I'm talking about like, yeah, this is fucking growth hormone that we made in a lab. Inject this into your ass, you know? So like, it's the real shit. I mean, let's face it. He works really hard to look that way, but it's, you know, it's hard work and chemicals that make him look that way. And I think that if Arnold wants to go down that route for movies, he certainly can now because he's not going to come under any scrutiny. Because it's not like, you know, he's taking these questionable substances while he's, you know, still the governor. Like, I think he's going to be a little less under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he could certainly, you know, get back. I mean, he's not going to look like he did in fucking Commando, but.
Yeah.
At the same time, I mean, everyone has muscle memory, and when you have as much muscle as he did, I think he's going to have a lot of memory, too.
I think you should go down.
No, I think Sylvester Stallone found the fucking Lazarus Pit, like in Florida.
Probably that, too.
He's going to take a dip in it.
Yep. I think Arnold should go like the Stallone road and start doing like sequels to all his movies. Like, do like a Commando sequel called John Matrix or something like that.
I would see that. I would see that in a hot second.
Or like,
you think they ever call it The Matrix? Oh,
called The Matrix. Enter The Matrix. I'm trying to think of like other Arnold character names. I can't think of any.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's bad dad in Jingle All the Way 2.
Dear God, no!
They should make a sequel to Jingle All the Way. Come on.
I'm trouble.
It's like a safe. It's the safest movie he can make besides Kinder Cop 2.
Just make Turbo Man Begins. That'd be pretty great.
Eraser 2, Erase Harder.
Yes.
Eraser.
He was drawing John Kruger in that one.
Yep.
The lastest action hero.
Dear God, no.
Actually, what they should really do is just make that fucking Hamlet movie.
From Last Action Hero?
From Last Action Hero. Dude, I would see that in a second.
Too.
Are you kidding me?
Arnold Schwarzenegger presents Hamlet.
To be or not to be.
Did he have like a machine gun in that movie? Like, it was like Hamlet, but he had a machine gun.
Yeah, he had the Uzi, yeah. Stay thy hand, fair prince. Who said that was fair? And he sprays him with a fucking tech nine. He's like,
that was like one of the greatest like fake shows ever made. Like, someone actually like made a trailer for the Hamlet movie with Arnold in it.
Yeah. Oh, man. My fucking Shakespeare teacher back in college showed us that, like, in class. And he went onto YouTube and he started typing it out. I was like, no, this is – are you kidding me? No professor is this awesome. And he was like, yeah, I bet you would all watch that movie. And I was like, oh, you don't know how hard I yearn for such a film to be released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully Arnold comes back pretty soon.
Yeah, back with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm. So, other news, just quick news bit here, but Ricky Gervais is actually going to appear on the U.S. Office, and I think as his U.K. Office character, David Brent. So it's like the crossover people have been waiting for since the episode one of the U.S. Office.
I hear it's actually going to be this Thursday, but I don't know how true that is.
You mean the date this goes up, Brian?
The date that he's on there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be today.
Yes.
Thank you.
Time travel. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited for that.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's one of those, like, inevitable things.
Yeah.
That hopefully it sort of lives up to everyone's idea of, like, what it will be like. But, you know, it's Ricky Gervais, so it should be pretty good.
I hear it's going to be brief. It's going to be during the cold open, so it's going to be, like, right off the bat.
Oh, very
Pop
cool.
Out.
Yeah, it's not going to be like
a whole episode. It's just like they bump into each other.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
I must excited now. Thanks, Brian.
Sorry. Of course, you would have been more disappointed when it happened, and I knew, so.
Yeah. Temper your expectations. So, last big news this week is that the day that we're recording this is the day that the Razzie Award nominations came out, which, of course, is the day before the Oscars, so we'll probably talk about Oscars next week. But Razzie Awards this week, Bounty Hunter and Last Airbender and Twilight Eclipse are, like, the big front runners. So, like,
deserving.
So, worst, like, the nominees for Worst Picture are The Bounty Hunter, Last Airbender, Sex and the City 2, Twilight Saga Eclipse, and Vampires Suck.
See, I've seen The Bounty Hunter, and that's just a shitty, like, romantic comedy. But, like, everything else is just terrible.
Yeah, my vote's definitely for Last Airbender.
Yeah, I gotta go with that, too.
Yeah, because, like, there's no community disappointed with, like, a Gerard Butler and Jennifer Aniston, like, craptacular love movie.
Yeah.
But, like, a whole generation of kids grew up on The Last Airbender just to get slapped in the face.
Yep.
Just to get M. Night Shyamalan.
Mm-hmm.
No young child deserves it.
No. Scarred for...
And then, also, they also have a new category this year for the Razzies, which is the worst eye-gouging misuse of 3D. So, like, the nominees for that are Cats and Dogs 2, Clash of the Titans, The Last Airbender, Nutcracker 3D, and Saw 3D.
Of course, Nutcracker being 3D being like the biggest bomb of last year.
Yeah, it made like $500,000 or something. But
that's good.
I've heard Clash of Titans is horrible, like 3D. But I also heard like Last Airbender 3D was horrible too. Because it was like the super rushed post-processed 3D. So
like they just fucked up the projector. They didn't like change the film. They're just like, all right, when you show the movie, just like. Angle it to make it blurry. They put these glasses on.
Yeah. Well, it's like ran through like a filter and just like, I heard like people's heads were like in some scenes, like people's heads were 3D, but like the rest of their body wasn't. And it's just like, their head was just like floating in 3D. And, like things in the background were blurry, but that like, because they didn't get processed. And just like, I actually remember walking Clash of Titans and like, without 3D glasses, you could pretty much like see exactly, like see what was going on really clearly, because it's just like the background was a little blurry. Because that was 3D. The rest of it wasn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeesh.
Razzies. I wonder if anyone's like going to like actually accept their award. Like, didn't Sandra Bullock accept her award last year?
Yeah, for like About think, Steve.
Yeah. All About Steve.
And then she got the Oscar.
Yeah, it was just like, oh my god.
But see, I like that, because she... took it in stride. Some people are just like, fuck you, that was a good movie. It's like, that made like $10. It's already in a 5-for-1 DVD collection.
Mm-hmm. So, moving on. That was it for news, so why don't we get to the newest roundup. Stuff coming on DVD this week. Some good stuff. Not much, but we have Secretariat, which the elderly people's favorite.
Disney Secretariat.
Yes. It's like catnip for old people. We also have Red, which was the sort of the other one of the five team of mercenary movies that came out last year.
Meh.
You were not a fan, Brian?
It was okay.
Okay. Even with like Bruce Willis and John Malkovich and Morgan Freeman and Helen Mirren.
It lost its luster after a while.
Okay. So you would rank it at the bottom of the mercenary movies?
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed, like, The Losers and A-Team more.
Okay. So, also this week we have The Girl Kicked the Hornet's Nest, which is the second movie in the Girl Who Did Stuff series.
The Girl Who Did Stuff.
I actually read through one of the books real quickly, and then I read the other, like, the one who's, like, playing with fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, the same plot. It's always, like, she's always discovers something she shouldn't have, gets raped, and has to help an older man. Like, it's usually that reporter guy. And it's, like, he's, like, 20 years older than him. And it's just, like, this really creepy thing that they have. It's like this father-daughter relationship, like, you know, surrogate-ness.
Mm-hmm.
But they have sex. So it's just, it's really fucked up.
Very nice.
Oh, God. And they're remaking it.
Yeah. So it's just like, this is a creepy movie. It has like four books already, and it's the same thing in each one. It's kind of like, Angels and Demons and the fucking Da Vinci Code, mm-hmm. that formula. So, I don't know. That's why I stopped reading.
That killed your taste for reading, Chris?
Yeah, fuck literacy.
So also this week is Saw 7, a.k.a. Saw the Final Chapter.
Yes.
Did you see that, Chris?
Well, sort of.
Sort of?
I, like, sort of torn of it.
Okay.
I like it. Like, you're also talking to first people who've seen Saw 1 through 6, six
yeah.
So.
I saw parts of it. Like, the beginning was pretty good. I like the beginning sequence where, like, the dudes had to, like, fight each other with saws in the front of the window.
Oh man, it's like the two lovers, they don't know about each other until they come to the conclusion that, it's a really good, like, see, that's what I like about the movie. It's like one of those, it's like a really good ethical dilemma scenario played out, but, like, just the perfect setting for, like, how to solve it, because it's like, you know, it's like, oh, like, you're put in a room with a person who killed your parents, but, like, you also did a bad thing, too, so like, who's the most evil person? It's just like, doesn't really fucking matter, I have the gun. So, that's what I love about the Saw movies. Some people don't agree with it, like Brian. He doesn't like the gore porn. I, like, you know, I'm all about, like, just...
Ew!
You know, like, well, no, because it's like, some days you just don't want plot. Some days you just want to watch, like, some asshole get killed in his own stupidity.
Woo!
Over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Ow!
But Saw 7, though, was like, it was going with that formula, but now they're trying to, like, alright, let's end the story.
It's like, it's like, wrap up, like, five different plot, like, insane plot lines.
Yeah, like, that's good, because it's like, finally, like, certain things can make sense, because I felt like they always kept it open, but this was like, there really shouldn't be any more opens. This is like the, this should be it, because freaking Jigsaw died four movies
yeah.
ago.
And it's, oh. And didn't, like, three movies take place at the same time and stuff, and it's just like...
Saw 2, 3, and 4 took place at the same time. 4 and 5 and part of 6 took place at the same, sort of the same week. 7 takes place like a year later or
yeah.
something like that, or a few months later.
Those movies are crazy.
It's good because that whole, they're trying to keep things in that continuity. That's I like about that. Like, they pay attention to the details.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people don't ignore that. Some people, you know, just like, oh, well, we won't mention it. But this, they actually, like, go back and they try to make some sense. But, like, that's just because I watch good movies sometimes, and that teaches me to appreciate the small details. Like, I mentioned Batman, you know? But, like... they don't, because, like, the average Saw viewer is, like, an immature 12-year-old, or me,
mm-hmm.
and I'll pay attention, I'll see the small details and the nods to things that happened, like, four movies ago, but the, you know, the young, immature teenager, like, his first rated R movie, like, he won't notice that. He won't notice that, like, oh, they're mentioning characters, or just things that a character said, like, once, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, then they just do, like, those, like, insane, this, like, super fast, like, montages of flashbacks.
Yep. Especially when they did reveal, like, who is, like, the new Jigsaw apprentice, or, like, what the Jigsaw apprentice did three movies ago to trap someone two movies later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, you could spend a whole day watching it. You'll be sick, kind of, or you'd just be deprived, but, like, you can get it if you watch them all in a row. And I could do that. I could do a Saw 7 marathon in my house. I put traps in the wall, some glass in my front yard, you know? I'll bring all every light bulb I have.
It's like, you want a beer? You have to dig your hand through this box of syringes.
I know
Carl
one guy
on
who
it.
Do it just for fun. Yeah, Carl will do it for fun.
Yeah, so Saw is coming out. And also,
get it.
Let's see, what is the name? I can't remember the name of it. It's Dead Space, but I can't remember. I think it's like Aftermath or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dead Space Aftermath, which is the... I think it's the prequel to Dead Space 2, which is coming out this week. It came out this week as well.
I'll play it eventually.
So it did.
Yeah. Did any of you guys watch the first animated Dead Space movie?
Yeah.
No.
It's pretty terrible.
it's just more confusing than, like, entertaining, because it didn't really fill in any plot holes. It just, like, okay, now go play the game.
Everyone died.
Well, it's supposed to lead up to, like, why you get called in the game.
Yeah.
In the first game. But the second, I don't know. Here's the thing. When Dead Space 2 wants to promote itself, you don't have commercials about how scary it is to your mother. I don't know what marketing team thought of that. Because I know in Montreal, like, they were promoting Dead Space 2, like, months early. They just had, like, you know, footage and, like, a banner and some, like, concept art. Like, oh, that's interesting. In America, they're just like, we got a bunch of, like, moms from their, like, local, like, yarn barn and fucking showed them, like, graphic content, but we have no idea what it's from. You know? So, that's the commercial. And they're like, watch the cartoon that comes with it. It's like, no one's gonna get this.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Yep.
So, also this week, we have the complete series of She-Ra.
It's about time.
I know. Everyone's been clamoring for that. And then Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is on Blu-ray.
I'll have to pick that up. One of my favorite movies.
You haven't seen Green Hornet yet, right, Brian?
No, Chris and I might go see that this weekend. We're trying to plan it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wear a Kato mask. He's going to sit in the back.
And he's going to drive my car
Yep. And
bring me there.
Then you're going to...
During a snowstorm, this is going to make sense.
Because you're going to, like, fight people in, like, super slow motion.
I knew that already.
You should see when it gets drunk, then it gets really super slow.
Yeah. I got my bold time. It's called being drunk.
You're better when you're drunk. Yep, so that's it for New Release Roundup this week. So why don't we get into our special feature?
Before you go, I'm taking off.
Again, as usual.
Again. Sorry. I'm all movied out by time, but let me just say good luck with your Hitman discussion, and if any of you mention the movie Hitman, I will bludgeon you to death with the next object I find.
That's the first thing we're going to talk about, Brian, so...
Yeah, that's actually my favorite Hitman movie ever. My father died directing it.
God. That was the best episode of Justified ever.
Oh, Chris.
How dare you, Chris. All
right. Have fun, guys. Okay. See you
Bye,
next
Brian.
Week.
See ya. Killing in the name of. Now you do what they told ya. 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 Now you do what they told ya.
All right, so yeah, special features week. Mechanic is coming out, the new one, Jason Statham and Ben Foster. So we're going to talk about our favorite Hitman movies.
Indeed.
So,
indubitably.
I don't know, where do you guys want to start? Do you want to start with the...
Let's start with Hitman.
The movie titled Hitman.
The aptly named Hitman.
Yeah.
Or if you want to say it like a Mega Man villain, Hitman.
Hitman?
Hitman.
I'm surprised it wasn't an Uwe Boll movie.
Oh,
it
God,
felt
it
like
probably
it.
It did feel like it, yeah.
I was oddly, like, looking at, like, information online just as it was going, like, did Uwe Boll, like, fucking, like, break on the set and start directing scenes?
I think he might have, like, broken into the editing room. Like, while nobody was on the lot and was like, yes, this would work much better.
That's right.
No one understands my art.
I'm sorry, they didn't put, like, transitions of, like, the game for, like, between scenes, just like we did, like, House of the Dead. Oh, yeah, you guys remember, the scene that movie, like, it was actually, where it was trying to be, like, the game? Where, like, it, like...
Oh, yeah,
like
they showed the bench.
Like, it, like, spun behind him and, like, following behind him and stuff. Then weren't there kids, like, actually playing the game in the movie, and, like, he looks, like 8047 looks at it, is like, that's funny. That jumps out a window.
You're asking me if I remember scenes from House of the Dead.
Well, I'm talking about Hitman.
Oh.
Where, like, the kids are playing Hitman, like they're actually playing the Hitman game in the movie.
To, like, train or whatever?
Yeah. Like, in the hotel.
Yeah, it was really... It was a little odd.
Yeah.
IMHO.
That was, like... They had some like lip service to the game, but it's just like horrible generic action movie.
Well, it's a good Hitman series is a good game because it's like it's creative and they added throwing that like you know that not, that character like you know Agent 47 that like you can relate to him to certain degrees but you can't all the way because he's like some genetic freaky Hitman guy.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's cool because like there's not too many of him in the game series. Like the universe, they don't bring it up too much. They just mention that he was a genetic engineered person.
Well, I remember. I think it was Contracts, where like the first level is like you're escaping from like the cloning facility or something.
You sure are. That was an awesome game.
It's just like there's hundreds of like 47 clones just like running like getting killed by the police.
Yeah, that was really cool. Ran for a while.
But, like, that was a good, like, one-part story to him. Like, if they mention it, that was cool. But, like, apparently in the movie, they just had the insane liberty to make it all about that.
Yeah.
And that was bad.
And they're trained by monks, and then...
Jesus, like... And apparently he's, like, the best hitman of them all, even though he helped most of them probably break out of that facility. Now they're out to kill him, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
The movie was so convoluted and unnecessary for certain, like, okay... Yeah, they can try to make it, but like Hitman movies have been around for a while. Like assassin movies have been out for a long, long time, and they just did not follow some sort of formula.
Well, they did. It was super close to the formula. It was just like, oh, the agency I work for wants to kill me now. I'm going to turn against them.
Yeah, but that was basically where it ended. People of you, like, but like the like everyone was bald.
Yeah,
like every bald man he was looking at, he was just gonna fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all wearing like nice Italian suits. So, I just felt like that's the weird. Like, if you want to make a good assassin, you don't make him look like a fucking like
the barcode on the back of his head.
Yeah, like, stupid. Like, okay, I'll bring him another movie. Maybe a good camera. Remember this movie, Assassins, when it was Sylvester Stallone?
Yes, I just watched it on Netflix.
Sure do.
And Sylvester Stallone versus Antonio Banderas.
Yeah,
like, the weirdest combo since. I don't know. It's really miss.
In a long fucking time.
They're trying to recapture that Tango and Cash magic.
Except Antonio Banderas is like, I don't know, half the size of Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
I really did like Antonio Banderas' character. Yeah. I just felt like he was just like way over the top than he had to be.
Just like how like insanely evil he was. Just like he would kill pretty much every single person in the room.
Yeah. But he was stylish, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I just remember like it. They had that like cat and mouse game a lot. Like it was
beginning half of the movie. It was awesome back and forth. Like remember when they're in like the taxi cab?
Yeah.
And like Stallone's like slamming us like Tony Banderas is like hanging out the window of the taxi cab and like Stallone's like slamming us the bus. But then like. Julianne Moore shows up and it's like, oh god, the movie goes like last hour of the movie just like goes on forever.
I forgot who they're supposed to kill at the end. It was like someone that Sylvester Stallone knew.
Well,
you know, like
Stallone like supposedly killed his friend Nikolai, who's like the best assassin in the world.
Nikolai.
But then like it turns out like Nikolai was like the person like hiring both Antonio Banderas and Stallone
to like why
get a disc or something. That Julianne Moore, like, because she's, like, crazy hacker / data thief or something.
Huh.
That she got data on him that would, like, expose him. Because he pretty much died, so, like, he doesn't exist anymore.
He just had proof that he existed?
Yeah.
Maybe? I guess. I mean, the point of, like, it wasn't... I remember mostly about them talking and playing this cat and mouse game more than, like, why they were doing it in the first place.
Yeah. Tony Banderas just keeps, like, showing up and, like, stealing off Stallone's, like, contracts. Like, at the graveyard, but, like, Stallone has, like, the gun in his cast. Remember that part? He had, like a science pistol in his cast. Like, he had, like, an arm cast and he was, like, shooting at him.
Yeah. I like that. That's the first movie I see Antonio Banderas as like a villain.
Mm-hmm. Then he became Zorro.
Then he became like Puss in Boots, which was like a
mixture of both. Puss in Boots.
Stanley Puss in Boots was a hitman. Remember they hired him to kill Shrek and Shrek 2?
I guess.
Yeah.
So that counts as a hitman.
Puss in Boots. Oh, Chris, you're crazy.
What? It was true that he was a hitman.
Yeah,
and
absolutely, undeniably was a hitman. You're right.
I just blocked every Shrek sequel out of my mind. So,
no, I'll admit Shrek 2 was pretty good, and that's it. I ended from there.
Shrek the Third and Shrek Forever After.
Maybe Shrek the Ride.
Shrek the Ride.
There was at Universal Studios. There was a 3D show that you watched. And it was it was between Shrek 1 and 2.
To fill in all the complicated backstory.
Yep.
So, what are some other hitmen, guys? I wrote down Scaramanga from the Man with the Golden Gun.
Was he a hitman? I thought he just owned a pitching island.
He was the world's greatest assassin or something. Because of his gun that was golden.
Was it in his car? Best gun in the world.
Yeah.
Scaramanga, you and your midget.
Knick-knack.
I guess Scaramanga, but he never really stalked his victims. He was just I'm rich. You can own this island if you killed me. It's okay.
I invite you to my fabulous, funhouse of death.
I want to go. I don't want to fight you, Scaramanga. I just want to see what kind of crazy shit you just put in your cave. Wonder.
His sun laser, whatever the hell that was. He had a solar-powered laser.
Yeah, his island was solar-powered. Yeah. He threw a black guy in it, it blew up. Honey Goodnight threw, a black henchman into, the fucking water, generator water, and, it started self-destructing.
Yeah. So was there any other, hitmen in the Bond universe?
Yeah, every third henchman was a hitman.
Every third henchman.
I
remember, there was the doctor from Tomorrow Never Dies.
Right. He's I'm only doing my job. And he's so am I. Bam. Shoots the guy. Because he killed Terry Hatcher.
Yeah.
There's that famous Russian hitman from With Russia With Love. No, was it Russia With Love?
Yeah.
Yeah, the really tall, brute, fucking brute guy.
Yeah.
I think he was just, called a Russian.
Mm-hmm.
He was a hitman. He was, trained by that little old Spectre lady. And, because I remember, there's a scene where they're showing his proudness, and she puts on brass knuckles and hits him in, the chest and then the dick, and he's just
yep.
My dick. That's exactly what he said, too.
Speaking of the Russian, I think they kind of – that character inspired the Russian from the Punisher series. And then
probably.
The movie. Mm-hmm. Remember in the Thomas Jane movie, there was the Russian, and he was played by Kevin Nash. And they had this comical fight where, he broke into Frank Castle's, apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that Frank Castle kept throwing at him, would break. Because the Russian woman was just, would just fucking, smash it. Because I remember, there was circus music playing when that scene happened. It was funny because he was just, because he's, Thomas Jane was drinking. And the Russian breaks into his apartment. And, every gun he had, in his apartment, secretly hidden, the Russian would just smash or bend and throw him around. And then he ended up killing the Russian by throwing down a flight of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he throws boiling water in his face and then tackles him down the stairs and he breaks his neck.
In the comic series, the Russian, he gets fucking killed by a fat guy. The Punisher and his neighbor, they
Mr.
fall
Bippo.
On top of the Russian and suffocate him.
Mr. Bippo sits on him.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but I don't think John Pinette wanted to do that.
That's the worst way to go.
Yeah, really.
I'm going to sit on Kevin Nash's face. Yep.
If there's one thing I hope I ever get to see in the Marvel Universe, other than a very good Captain America movie, which I hope we're going to see sooner rather than later, the one thing I really, really want to see is the rooftop fight sequence on the roof of the Empire State Building between the Punisher, Spider-Man, and the Russian.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, in which Spider-Man's confronting the Punisher, and he's like, you need to leave. He's like, why? I don't get it. Don't you know I'm your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man? And the Russian literally just, swats him. And then Punisher picks up Spider-Man and actually uses him as a human shield for about 5 minutes. And then winds up pushing the Russian off the top of the Empire State Building. And, he's got like missing teeth, his jaw's broken, like he's basically like as fucked up as Spider-Man could possibly get. And he like finally comes out from being like he comes to consciousness from being knocked out, and he goes, "What happened?" And he goes, "You beat him. You did a great job, kid."
Well, no, it was funny because in order to save the Russian, like to bring him back from like the dead, they transfer his body to like a 6-foot Amazon woman.
They sure do.
Jesus.
Yeah, like, yeah,
those Garth Ennis Punisher books are so over the top and crazy. I love them so much.
He's like not the best hitman because I know like in the Marvel universe, like every other villain was a hitman. Bullseye.
Yeah, Punisher was a fucking hitman.
Wait, to begin with.
He was still like hired, which they don't really explain what he gets. I guess gets paid on like Trident Lairs.
What else? Bullseye from, he's not my favorite hitman, but he was a hitman from the Daredevil movie that, you know.
Jesus Christ.
That movie that should not be named.
Yeah.
Damn.
But it was funny because when they introduced him, he's in like Ireland drinking and playing darts. Then every little item around, he can just use to kill, which is kind of cool. I mean, he does that in the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Is he going to be in like the Punisher, in the Avenger movie or anything?
No.
Why not?
Never. Although they are rebooting, I heard they were rebooting Daredevil because Fox doesn't want to lose the rights. Because they don't want them to revert back to Marvel. But I think they either just did revert back to Marvel or are about to go back to Marvel very soon. Mm. So, Daredevil and Punisher are the two next things that stand to go back to Marvel's ownership, which is very good news.
Marvel back to Punisher, good. Because they can probably start doing, you know, like Punisher Max slime
stories. They're doing a TV series.
Okay, I can see that.
They should do Punisher Kills the Entire Marvel Universe.
Oh my god, that's such an awesome book. Yeah, that would be an excellent, like, Marvel animated movie.
Yeah.
But it would have to be, like, they would have to include an uncut, unrated version. Because there are some pretty brutal kills in that book.
Mm-hmm. Some of it was funny, though. I remember when he nukes all the X-Men and the mutants together.
He puts them on the moon and then blows it up. That's incredible. Yeah, man, that's I have to say, like, that time period, like that late 90s, that mid-90s time period, that's when, like, Elseworlds was, like, really popular. And, like, Marvel and DC, like, no one was afraid to do anything. You know, they're like, hey, let's do a comic where Punisher kills off our entire catalog of heroes and villains. Okay. Hey, let's make Batman take place, like, let's have Batman be in, like, you know, 1800s London and have him track down Jack the Ripper. Okay. Sounds great.
Oh, Legends of Batman.
But Superman, yeah. Superman was a communist.
Yeah, what if he had crashed in Russia and he was, you know, Superman Red Sun? That would be cool. Fuck, they even did one that really flew under the radar where what if Clark Kent had landed in Gotham? And, John and Martha Kent, or whatever, what if they had been murdered like Bruce's parents, and what if he had become a bat, but it was basically what if Superman had dressed up like Batman, but still been Superman.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty stupid, but he was still, like, fighting all the Batman villains, which was kind of cool. And Bruce Wayne was just, like, a rich, like, jerk-off, which was kind of funny to see. Because it's like, what if Bruce Wayne really was just, like, a playboy all the time?
He'd be Tony Stark, but with no dead parents.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Oh, wait, do you guys remember Punisher meets Archie?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I didn't think that was real for the longest time. And then I was like, motherfucker, here it is right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
It exists.
So anyway, back to Hitman.
Yes.
Let's see what else I wrote down. I wrote on Leon from The Professional.
Oh man. Jean Reno, what a great movie that was. Natalie Portman's first film role, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and my favorite Gary Oldman villain, personally. I mean, he's played some sick fucking fucks, but my favorite of the sick fucks was definitely Leon the Professional.
Mm-hmm. There's also Bruce Willis as the Jackal in The Jackal.
Ah, yes. And,
which, that was a horrible movie, but Bruce Willis was pretty good in it.
It was good. Like, if you like Richard Gere, it's a good movie, I guess.
Richard Gere was like the most horrible Irish accent in movie history.
It's like, didn't they get, like, he was a terrorist or something, and then they had to get him out of jail to fight the Jackal, who was going to assassinate, like, the president?
Yeah, or something like that.
It's a Jackal.
It's Jackal. Like, the only like, part I've ever seen in that movie is, like, the part where, like, Bruce Willis blows off Jack Black's hand with, like, that huge sniper rifle.
That's a better memory than mine. Mine's, like, when he kissed that dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, something I remember. I'm like, no!
Burn to my brain!
Burn them. Burn them all, laddie.
Let's see what else. Oh, there was Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men.
I have not seen it.
You haven't seen No Country for Old Men, Joe?
I have not.
Jeez.
There's too much fucking hoopla around it, and I knew I wasn't going to like it.
It's a good movie the first time. More than that, you're just asking for problems.
Okay, here's the thing. With those big Oscar movies, like, unless it's something that genuinely interests me, I don't really like watching it because all these critics say that I should.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Like, and I know that's weird for someone who is on a fucking film podcast to be saying, but I feel like if everyone's, like, sucking a movie's dick, I'm going to be like, my God, let me get some of that, too.
You know? Hey, Joe, this is everything action, not everything snooty.
Exactly. So I'm like, you know what? It looks okay. I'll see it when everyone sort of, like, forgets about it. But then it's funny because I'll be like, hey, you know what movie I saw that was actually not bad? Catch Me If You Can. People are like, didn't that come out like 10 years ago? I'm like, so? It was still a great movie.
Love that movie.
Yeah, it is a good movie.
And it turned into a show called White Collar.
You're damn right it did.
Yeah.
Speaking of White Collar, I saw a commercial for their new season, and they actually have an Electric Six song as like the song for the commercial, and I was laughing my ass off because if anyone out there, including you guys, are familiar with the Electric Six, you know how like raunchy and random of a band they are. So for them to be on like USA's like Baby,
yep,
like it was just really funny to me. I was like, wow, this is very horribly mismatched.
That sounds like they're an Ordinary Family. They actually used like the CeeLo song "Fuck You." Buster just like the most like happy, like, we're driving our car to the country, yay!
Yeah.
Family moment. It's just like CeeLo Green, fuck you. But it's like it was like the forget you, but it's just like,
forget you.
Did anyone like listen to like what this song is?
Yeah, even Forget You is just about him being pissed at like a hoe,
yeah,
and like a rich douchebag who like steals his hoe.
This doesn't say like family fun time.
Yeah, you would expect to hear, like, I have the time of my life. But instead, it's like, you know.
Or it's like whenever, like, every movie.
Straight out of Compton.
It's like every movie in the 90s is, like, Semi-Charmed Life, like, montages and shit.
Yeah. Or my favorite was in, like, I don't know, like, 2004 or 5, like, whenever this song came out. I was talking to Chris about this last time I saw him. Every trailer for, like, 3 years had that fucking had that like girlfriend song by Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
I'd elect a girlfriend.
It's hey, like, hey, you, this, you.
It's like during Hitler's, it's like Third Reich.
Yep.
Hey, hey, you, I'd elect a girlfriend. Oh, it was like the go-to song for everything. It was awful.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine looking back at our like summer times and our summer songs as Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne, The Sweetness by Jimmy. No, like what's that Jimmy Eat World song? The Middle?
Middle? Yeah.
Yeah. All these movie trailer songs. I mean, we should make like an everything action movie trailer song, volume one compilation.
Well, I know like last year, like every single freaking movie and trailer had like that heavy song, you know, How You Like Me Now or whatever.
yeah. I think the last time I heard, like, a really good song in a trailer was actually for Red, because it was Back in the Saddle by Aerosmith, which is a fucking awesome song.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, that was the last time I heard a song in a trailer, and I was like, hell yeah.
Or you just be, like Alpha and Omega, and we have like Born to Be Wild and Hungry Like the Wolf.
Cliche ass song.
Oh man, no, Hungry Like the Wolf, the best trailer that's ever been in was a Big Fat Liar with Paul Giamatti and Frankie Mungongo. if any of you guys got that reference, we need to become domestic partners. Because that was from when Will Sasso was doing James Lipton on Mad TV's Inside the Actor's Studio. And he keeps saying Frankie Muniz's name wrong. It's like, I'm here with Frankie Mungongo. It's like, it's Muniz. He's like, I'm here with Frankie Mercury. It's just very, very delightful.
So
yeah, if you ever hear me reference Frankie Mungongo, just realize I'm talking about Frankie Muniz.
Speaking of Paul Giamatti, shoot him up.
Yeah.
Well, who's the hitman in that? Clive Owen?
Everyone.
wasn't Paul Giamatti's character sort of like a hired gun? There's a shitload of assassins.
I don't remember the plot of that movie. I just remember the plot was like super convoluted for like the movie that said like we're not gonna have a plot, it's just gonna be nonstop action.
Yeah, that's basically what it was.
It's like this like convoluted backstory of like how like Clive Owen's character was like this like son of this gun manufacturer who was like the expert marksman and stuff.
Well, there's like two backgrounds. Like, he has two different backgrounds where he was a pawn shop owner who sold guns to a guy who used it against his own family at a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
like the same day by accident or just by coincidence. Then there's one where he was an Olympic sharpshooter.
Yeah.
So like there's just like this two different stories that might be one. I don't know. It's not really the point, but like they hired a whole lot of assassins to kill Clive Owens.
Yeah.
And they don't do it. Kills them all.
Yeah. Like skydiving and
fucking. I remember there was that one guy. There was that one hired guy who kept cleaning his gun. Remember, yeah, like when he wasn't talking.
Yeah.
Or like doing anything important. Then I remember helicopter.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Didn't
that? He was all. Clive Owen was also an assassin in The Bourne Identity.
Yes.
Is the professor?
Oh, that's probably my favorite Hitman movie. That whole series I just love so much.
Well, because Jason Bourne was a hitman, like a government section hitman.
Well, right, yeah.
Then there's like all the other like hitmen that came after him. Like I can't remember any of the names, but there's like Chris's favorite Carl Urban, or Carl Urbane.
Yeah.
Carl Urbane.
Bane.
And there was that like that guy who like that. Jason Bourne killed with the pen. In the first one, there's like he killed the guy with the magazine. The second one, and
well, didn't he kill one guy with a book?
Yeah,
he was beating the guy with fucking a bunch two books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome fight scenes in those movies.
Yep.
And also, like,
not much about the emphasis about Hitman because they keep sending the same people that they make, like Jason. It's like, aren't they from all the same program?
Treadstone,
like Hitman. Yeah, and, like, they have to go against each other, and they realize Jason Bourne's just, like, the ultimate one they made.
Yep.
See, I would, if I had to be in charge of a company like that, I'd just be like, we need a failsafe that isn't the same shit as our problem.
Just, like, install, like, a microchip in his brain that'll explode. Exploded or something.
Or just give him, like, exploding underwear. Something that's just, like, just in case.
Mm-hmm. Just in case he gets amnesia and, like, falls off a boat.
Has no idea who he works for anymore, mm-hmm. So we just try to kill him anyway. Most Hitman movies I've seen, it's always that, you know, again, the formula of the company that you work for, they would just turn on you.
Yeah.
Like Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
They were both Hitmen, they were both married, and they realized their companies are, like, merging, and they just need to kill the loose ends. And it was a spectacular, craptacular movie.
I didn't get all the way through it. I like stopped. I was just like, I'm done with this.
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Like it's better than your average romantic comedy because it's action, and I just like Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
So
It's from the guy who directed the first Bourne movie, too.
Really?
Doug Liman. He also directed Jumper.
Okay.
Well, he's one for three.
Yeah. I don't own Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but like if it's on TV, I'll watch a few scenes because it's just funny.
Mm-hmm.
But, I like the idea of it. Like, it just seems really stupid because it took them like 3 years to figure out the both assassins.
Like, their entire lives.
Yeah.
Then, like, not once did they, like, press the button and, like, reveal all the guns.
See, True Lies had a good formula of just, like, keeping a secret double life, but,
yeah,
like
keeping... like, you go somewhere to be, like, do that stuff. Not, like, yeah. You don't have guns and, like, fucking grenades and all that stuff in your house.
What's another, like...
Well, there was, I was gonna say, Chow Yun-Fat and The Killer.
Very, very good assassin movie.
Yes.
It just...
Yeah, that was a
good
one.
Rocket the Stash.
Yeah. That was his disguise, mm-hmm. to hide himself from other Chinese people, is to put on a really thick mustache.
And, like, the end of, like, the shootout in the church is just, like, crazy.
To this day, I can't figure out how, like, he got blinded. I mean, he got hit by a fucking shotgun. And he's just, like, his eyes.
Well, the girl got blinded because she, like, walked right in, like, she, was, like, the gun was, like, 2 feet away from
okay.
her.
His muzzle flare, yeah. The dust from the muzzle flare, like, went into her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, without me sounding like a total noob, this was the one with where there's the sequence. There's like that really famous sequence where they're like walking into the house and they're all wearing the suits, or whatever. And it's just like, isn't it just like 3 minutes of like brutal shotgun murders?
Yeah,
yeah, because
there's four movies that do that Chang Fat was and John Woo directed. Like
that's the thing. I'm trying to pinpoint which one it actually that I'm thinking of.
It wasn't Hard Boiled.
Okay. The killer is the second one of this like type because
right.
there's one before that was like directed by John Woo and Ha Chang Fat doing the same exact shit and that was A Better Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then
I think that scene
in A Better Tomorrow became The Killers and then The Killers they did like A Better Tomorrow 2 where it's like with four guys go in a house one of the like longest like one take things where they go in a house and they just massacre the fuck out of it.
That's it because I remember but on YouTube, there's actually an awesome music video for Death Comes Ripping by the Misfits. And it's just that whole sequence, like, uninterrupted set to that music. And it's, like, one of the most brutally violent things of all time. And I remember watching it in high school and being like, whoa.
I mean, is one guy wearing, like, a long trench coat kind of thing? Like,
yeah, sort of.
Yeah, then...
They're just fucking up all these, like, henchmen in suits. Like, it's awesome.
Yep, that's a better
tomorrow. I was like, oh, man, when I'm really rich, I'm just going to hire, like, henchmen in suits that I could just, like, shoot with, like, rubber bullets.
Yep.
I think that'll be good.
Yeah, and the killer, like, the end of that was just, like, the ultimate, like, John Woo scene. Just, like, doves everywhere. Everyone's got double pistols diving everywhere in slow motion.
Yes. You know, I'm really surprised no one's ever tried to, like, redo The Killer. With a better, like, it's such a good classic story about, like, a killer who, like, tries to like, get redemption. Like, they don't need to make a direct, like, sequel or something, or a direct, like, remake, or just, there hasn't been something like that in a while for me. Like, just, I don't know, like, I haven't seen an American movie like that.
Mm-hmm. I thought John Woo was, like, you're talking about remaking it or something, but...
As long as he does it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Or oversees
it. Spiritual sequel or something.
See, that's the thing. Like, I think it would be so cool if more directors were like, hey, you know what would be cool? If I, like... It's like when a band, like Kiss is a really good example of this. They were going to lose the copyrights to a lot of their, like, greatest hit songs. And unless they, like, re-recorded them. So what they did was they just did, like... a best of CD that was just re-recordings of these classic songs. And like, they don't really change anything about like the structure of the song or like the lyrics. It just sounds a little more modern, you know, and it sounds a little bit
mm-hmm.
better. I mean, maybe not better. It's up to your preference, but it definitely sounds more modern and it's better sound quality. Like it would be really cool to see more directors like want to do something like that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be them directing, but like the best example I could think of that right now is the original, the director of the original Child's Play, is really trying to like produce and like oversee the remaking process of a, you know, the Child's Play remake. And that's why it's been, they've been wanting to do it for like years, but he's like being really, really cautious about it, which is kind of nice if you ask me.
Well, it hasn't really worked out so far with like movies. Like there was like the Psycho remake that was like shot for shot.
Well, yeah, but it's a shot for shot remake, but it's not like, oh my God, what the fuck?
Hitchcock?
It's not Hitchcock, yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you know, there's like Michael Haneke, like he did like Funny Games and he like did a shot for shot remake for like an American version of it.
Yeah. I guess I'm talking more of like older, like Psycho is probably the better example if you ask me, because like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, like things like that, those movies that are getting remade like mm-hmm. 2 years after, you know, these just like really quick like Asian import remakes, like The Eye, The Grudge,
yeah.
Ju-on, like Ringu, all these things, like they're not terrible, but I would say the better ones, like the first Ring, like even the Ring 2, I guess, and the first Grudge, you know, I think they work because they're so close to the originals. They're just like a little bit, they're just tweaked a little bit so that they work more for like an American audience. I think that there are a lot of great older movies that could be tweaked to work for like a modern audience, but you know, whatevs. Yeah. I would rather see new original good movies coming out than decent remakes of old movies.
Yep.
Now that's just my opinion.
But I said if they had a remake, at least make it like something like you can like, oh, like the integrity is still there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry, back to Hitman.
Hitman.
Back to Hitman.
Let's see what else I've done. Oh yeah. Vincent from Collateral, Tom Cruise, acting crazy with silver hair.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Throwing guys off through windows on taxi cabs and killing people in a club.
In the club, it's going down.
Yeah, Tom Cruise definitely needs to be, like, more villains. Because he was awesome in that movie.
You know, I just felt like it was a weird way to end where, like, he dies because Jamie Foxx, like, he gets off
a lucky shot, yeah.
So it wasn't even just like, wow.
I think that they're was trying like, to, like
karma.
They're trying to, like, get like a end of Heat moment, I think, or something like that. That, like, they sit together and like Tom Cruise is like, "Do you think if a guy dies in a subway, how long will it take for them to realize he's dead and dies?"
What about the classic Chuck Norris movie, The Hitman?
I've not seen it, Joe.
Oh man, it's oh god, I wouldn't recommend going to see it. But I was just thinking about like. You know, hitman movies, and this one has the fucking name in the title. Although, strangely enough, he's not really a hitman. I guess the closest
really
thing
cop?
You could... Yeah, he's a cop. Yeah, I know that's a really big leap of faith for a Chuck Norris movie. He plays a cop. Really? And I think the closest thing to a hitman in this movie is his nemesis or whatever, or his old enemy. Who shows up. He's basically a cop who, like, gets really, like, shot up and hurt during, like a drug sting.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it out alive, but his, like, commanding officers and stuff spread the word that he died to, like, protect him. And he's like, fuck that, I'm going to infiltrate the mob. And they're like, didn't we kill you? And he's like, no. Yes, bam. And he's got such a righteous mullet. In this movie, it's up there with the Hard Target Van Damme mullet, but the fact that
the
it's on Chuck Norris just makes it even yeah that's really what it is. I mean, the fact that it's on Chuck Norris just makes it even more commanding.
It sounds like the Chuck Norris version of like Out for Justice or whatever.
That's literally what it is.
It is okay.
And they were all made within like a year of each other. Those three movies.
I think Seagal played a hitman in. One of his directed DVD movies, but I can't think of any.
I think the law of probabilities would have to, you know,
I know he was like a Russian novelist in one of them.
Oh yeah.
Chris, we saw that movie together, man. That was awesome. I mean, awesomely bad, but yeah, he was.
Today
he
you
was
die
a terrible
or something.
Yeah. No, it wasn't Today You Die. It was
Driven to Kill.
He was like a Russian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Author.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who knows how to kill people?
Author with like Russian mob ties.
Yeah. Because Skull has to, like every Skull character has to be like expert in weapons and like martial arts master. Like even when he's like working for like the Environmental Protection Agency, he's like, I got a gun and I'll kill people for the environment.
He's like, see, I'm writing a self-help book based on voodoo and Buddha's teachings, but I'm also a ex-Russian mob informant.
No.
/ lead singer and guitarist of Mojo Priest.
Yep.
Crystal Cave.
Yes.
What does it take to change the essence of a man?
Probably. I think the essence of a man has to be derived from his mandom.
The answer is time.
Oh, okay.
It takes time to change the essence of a man.
And getting slapped.
Yep.
Or a good Bronsonian stare. I think that'll change the essence of a man pretty quick, too. A scumbag. I'm sorry, Mr. Bronson.
So, I think the last hitman I got written down was Il Duce from the Boondock Saints.
Yeah, yeah.
Billy Connolly. With, like, his really? Best of guns.
Oh, he had, like, what? 4 guns each side, and
yeah.
He went through all.
Yep.
That's kind of a bad hit, man.
Like, it was a firefight!
Classic Defoe.
Yep. Then he's just, like, going crazy. That's like everyone's favorite scene from Best Things.
Well, I like the quiet hitman that they kill in his house, like the guy who doesn't speak at all.
Mm-hmm.
And because when what's that big guy, the Italian guy? He was describing his worst day, and it was that when the hitman and him teamed up to go like kill a family, and he was really efficient, and he was doing that crazy like. He was going through each the quiet hitman guy was going through each room killing everybody and like ripping up the carpeting. Yes, you remember that, Zach?
Was that in the first one?
Yep.
Yeah, it's been a while since.
Okay, well, I thought it was funny because then like, oh, we should kill this fucker because he's crazy. So they go to his house and they kill all like the people in his like den, and then I remember like he gets killed by like a freaking billiards ball. Jesus, what the hell is his name was? Rocco. That was his name. Rocco kills the assassin with like a white ball, like a white billiards ball. He smashes his head in.
Oh jeez. Yeah, I think that was like the end of the movie, like near the end of the movie, right?
Like middle of the animals.
Mm-hmm. The second Boondock Saints, they got, like, this, like, there's, like, an evil Boondock Saint guy, or, like, this, like, evil assassin guy that frames them.
I heard he's, like, I didn't see the second one yet, but I heard he's, like, the cousin of, like, the main villain or something.
Yeah. Well, no, like, the cousin, like, the mob cousins, like, hire him to, like, frame the Saints for, like, all the stuff they did in the first one.
Hmm.
God, that movie's terrible.
Yeah.
I should put that by Netflix link.
Jim, right?
Just make sure you're like drunk while you're watching it.
Yeah, really.
That's the only way.
I know I was.
Put it on my list. Be surprised when it shows up.
Is it still on Instant Watch? Or did they take it off Instant Watch? Because I know it was on Instant Watch for a while.
Really?
Yeah, it was. It was for a long time, actually. I'll search it now. The first one and second one, or just the second?
I know the first one is still, but I don't know if the second one is.
Huh. Well, this is interesting. I just found Oh, God. Boondock Saints 1 is still on there. They actually added the 1982 Chuck Norris classic Forced Vengeance, where casino security man Josh Randall runs head-on into the Asian Mafia in this action-packed martial arts film, as well as The Cutter, which was actually direct-to-DVD made in 2005.
When a kidnapping rescue mission goes horribly wrong, Detective John Shepard. See, that's a metaphor because he's good and he shepherds the other good people away from evil. Anyway, Detective John Shepard escapes his guilty conscience by trying to save an aging diamond cutter, Isaac Teller, who's been abducted by an unknown madman.
Oh my God.
Now see, when the madman is unknown, that's even more maddening for the audience.
Yes.
Okay, so let's see. Boondock Saints.
Breaker Breaker was just on like IFC this afternoon.
God damn. Yep, Boondock Saints 2, All Saints Day. You can do a double feature because 1 and 2 are both on Watch Instant.
There you go, Chris.
Huh. I got something to do tonight.
There you go. There you go. Don't say we didn't warn you.
Get like... Oh, God. I don't...
Whatever you do, don't see the first movie before you see the second one.
Yeah, it's like...
Because if you watch the first one, you're going to be like, oh, man, this was such a good movie. And then you watch the second one, and you're like, oh, man, why did they do this?
Julie Crenshaw, crazy southern accent.
Oh, God. God damn it. I couldn't take her seriously for a second.
And it's like the, like... She's like, they tried to like recreate the firefight scene, but she's like dressed up like a cowboy.
Yeah, we won't give away too much because Chris is probably now like, what the fuck?
I forget what she said. She's like, it was a good old fashioned fisty iron shooting or something.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, God.
Good old fashioned
shooting. Not sure you're spoiling anything or warning me.
I don't know, Chris. You're going to have to do this one on your own, cowboy.
I'll let you guys know later, like, if I survive.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be up, so just text me and be like, why?
Speaking of assassins, this is really random, but do you remember that robot Asian assassin from RoboCop 3?
I sure do.
No, I've never seen RoboCop 3.
Oh, Zach.
So, like, come a on. Japanese...
I just saw RoboCop 2 last year, so...
Oh, right, man.
Well, let me explain. A Japanese like mega corp company comes to like Detroit to buy out like the city, and to do that, they need to kill RoboCop. So they produce their own line of RoboCop, which is just like a samurai ninja, because they got to keep the Asian tradition alive, I guess. But it's like terrible at its mission. Like it's a really like broken Terminator, basically.
Yeah.
Is it? Is it better or worse than, like, RoboCop 2 from RoboCop 2?
It's better, because it knows how to navigate, like, stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
it doesn't have, like, a max headroom face.
Yeah, it's not fueled on, like...
Ride the wave.
You on, like, drugs or something. You should never build a robot that runs on, like, pure, like...
Yeah.
On something, whatever they're using.
Like, oh.
Because I find out, like, it goes berserk. I
can't remember the name of that drug. It's like ice or something, or...
It was something really stereotypical, if I remember.
Yeah, or chaos. No.
Or drug.
It was called drug. The drug of choice.
What else? How about... The Terminators are technically hitmen.
Yeah, I guess the T-1000 is a... Yeah, and even the T-800 from the first one.
Yeah.
I guess if you want to really delve into it, they are... Hitmen.
They have a target that they want to kill.
They are sent for a bounty of sorts.
I remember the first movie, it took him like, he killed like 20 different Sarah Connors.
Yep.
They got like, the right one.
They're like...
He just went through the phone book like murdering women. Yep. And Sarah Connor saw it on the news and was like, oh, jinkies.
But Lance Henriksen was like, "That's... I just, the press is going to call, it's got a phone book killer. God damn it."
Yeah.
I remember the third movie, the chick was doing the blood test analyst thing.
Yeah.
To get all her kills right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of efficient. You know, Skynet wants to make sure it's killing its right people.
She enjoyed blood way too much, though. So.
Yeah.
This time, they wanted to do it right.
Mm-hmm. The T-1000 is the best one, though.
1000, yeah, he was really efficient. He didn't have to lick blood. He didn't have to, like, kill some, like, cougar woman. To wear her clothes?
Yep.
The Galleria.
Have you seen this boy? And he was also smart to, like, kill a cop and take over the cop's body.
I know. Wolfie's fine.
Just
where
like,
are you, John? your foster parents are dead.
Instead of just like random biker.
I know. Yeah, really, what were you thinking? I mean, as amazing as that whole sequence is, it's goddamn.
It's just like, he was on PCP, and he's wearing Kevlar. That's how he survives.
Wait, is like, in his programming, the Terminator's programming, why does he always go for bikers? Like, in the first movie, he went for a biker, sort of. In the second movie, he went for a biker. The third movie, he went for a biker.
He has to look as cool as possible.
I guess. You can just wear like a little shirt, you know, like a khaki.
Yeah.
Something.
Like, one of his directors is like, find bitches sunglasses. I must find the coolest pair of sunglasses I can.
Or just the first.
Bikers wear the best sunglasses. I will go there first.
There was a movie that me and Joe saw that we kind of regret. Faster.
Well, yeah.
No, come on. Faster was okay.
I know you guys were like huge fans of the generic British assassin.
Yeah, I was more fans of the assassin than I was about fucking The Rock. Because
The Rock was faster than him.
As fast as you, he's faster.
Like, the only reason why I regret it, because I was like, I should have put more thought into this movie before I bought a ticket, because I was like, well, at least I didn't sign 3D.
Come on, Chris.
I was like, that guy, like, had polio, and then, like, he became, like, a Bill Gates, and then, like, he, like, became...
Yeah. Like, the only reason I'm like, fuck, like, I can't get past, like, a simple computer science course, and this guy fucking invented, like, a shitload of, like, OSs, and then he became, like, an assassin.
Yeah. And then, like,
I can't get up in the morning past, I can't get up in the morning if I sleep past 2 a.m., fuck. Where does he find all this time? And then he got married at the end of the movie? Like, yep. God damn it. That assassin, like, I was rooting for him more, like, in the beginning. And then the end became, like, a whiny, like, he became, like, more broken to the point where I didn't like his character anymore because he was just having, like, a mental breakdown.
I gotta kill this guy. He's better than me. I don't like it.
Oh. He's so much tan than me, too. I think he drove the better car.
Yeah.
His car was more modern, but... You can't beat a muscle car. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Johnson's muscle car was pretty badass.
You can't beat one of those really souped up bad boys. It's just action movie law. Like, that's as badass as it possibly can get.
When an engine that, like, protrudes from the hood, you need a gas pedal that, like, is the size of, like...
It sounds like hell on earth. Yeah.
A skull shifter.
Yeah, of course.
I'll put a skull shifter like on my window knob, my window like wiper knob, my car.
Put some mud flaps on it. Some like somebody sand mud flaps.
Put what's that like ball testicle thing you put in the back of your truck or something?
Yeah.
That's my hitman car. I distract them with how hilariously like bad it is.
It was like
they keep laughing.
It was like gaudy. Like it's got like a gold like gas tank cover and like it's
got neon lights under the undercarriage.
Yep. It's got like a Dukes of Hazzard horn. Oh man, that would be awesome.
Agreed.
I think I get like some sort of like public citation or something.
Like,
car's too damn ugly.
It'd be like the Homer. the Homer should play a cucaracha.
Hey, was the mariachi an assassin? He was, right?
Yeah, I guess you could.
And once upon a time in Mexico, he was an assassin to kill that other general guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go back.
That's true.
And
happy point.
In Desperado, what's his face? Was the precursor to Machete was there. He was the other assassin that threw knives at people. You guys remember that?
Danny Trejo
played that like that
like blade or something. He was like blades or knives or something.
He had like throwing daggers.
Yeah.
And they accidentally killed him because they thought he was El Mariachi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that, actually. I had to watch that movie in Spanish class in high school. That was awesome.
Badass, man.
It was pretty badass. He was trying to teach us, like, Mexican slang. And I was like, oh, man, chinga. Chinga, chinga, chinga.
Punto.
Yeah, like, all the time. Like, every time I would walk out of class, I'd be like, what's going on, punto? He's like, you can't say that. I'm like, take it easy, man.
Oh, man.
Biggest mistake he ever made.
Wasn't Jason Statham a hitman in Crank?
Or was just- yeah, he was. Chem Chelios. Yeah. He was supposed to kill that fat Chinese guy, and he didn't, because he's like, I'm really tired of killing minorities.
Wait a second, did we really not talk about the transporter?
Well, he's not a hitman.
Well, he was a hitman.
He's a delivery guy.
Yes, but come on.
He only kills people when he has to, when they, like, fuck up his delivery.
He's a self-employed hitman.
Yeah, but, like, his, like...
I'm not changing my position on this.
He doesn't, like, he's doesn't a self-employed kill people. Hitman. He gets paid to, like, deliver shit.
So then,
and then, like,
even worse,
as like a, as a result of like his deliveries, he like kills a bunch of people, but like he doesn't get paid to kill people.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but like, yeah, Chip Chelios was a hitman in Crank.
See that he was good because he was like he was Frank from the Transporter, and he was also like a drug addict and. It was cool to see both those characters all in Jason Statham while he was, like, fucking Amy Smart, running, screaming.
Pretending to be a video game programmer.
Yeah, he wanted to be a game programmer.
Yep.
And that was his cover. And then I remember Crank 2 through his childhood. Like, you were very angry as a child. And I remember,
like,
they
that,
showed
like,
a
TV show.
The fake talk show.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're showing what activities like to do. I like to run. And it's like him running, screaming as he would. Like that, that's so funny because that's what he does like later in life too.
Mm-hmm. God, Crank 2 just got like so insane.
I can't. Wait
I didn't
Crank
really
3.
Need that Godzilla battle in
yes.
the Hitman movie.
Or like the head of the guy from the first movie, like floating in like a jar.
Actually, I thought that was funny. Like, yeah. Just like, okay, fuck it. At this point, I just saw Godzilla, like battle. Why not? Why not have a computerized Hispanic guy head?
Mm-hmm. So any other guys, or we wrap this up?
We could wrap it.
The Joker. The Joker technically was a hitman. They
no,
hired him.
No.
Come on. We're done. Okay.
Joker was a hit.
We talk about Chris.
He was a flashy hitman.
I suppose he was.
He was just like a flunky, mob flunky. Then he went crazy.
Yeah, are we talking about the Dark Knight Joker or the comic book Joker?
The Dark Knight Joker was just like insane.
Yeah.
Okay. Technically, if you go back.
Agent of Chaos.
Exactly.
But in the Batman series, he was technically a hitman, kind of. Like, whenever he needed a job, they threw him at it until he fell in that vat of, like, chemicals.
But, yeah, but he was just, like, hired muscle. He wasn't really, like... You know what? I'll give you that, because in the animated series, it's, like, implied that... I mean, they're all goons, but they can't show them killing anyone, because it was a fucking kids' TV series.
Yeah.
Like, all the mobsters
that's
ever
the
really
Phantasm. Do that. That was a really good one, where they showed him as, like, a young Joker, like...
Yeah, that
crazy
was awesome. Where he was still, like, a dick.
In an anime Joker-themed killing, he just, like, would just kill them somehow.
Yeah, that was cool, though, when he, like, draws the smile over him, and he's like, oh, I get it now. I'm like, really, Bruce? Do you get it? That's, like, one of the biggest Batman fails. It's up there with, Batman Forever, where he's, like, figuring out the puzzle at the end. He's like, Enigma. Enigma. Edward Nigma.
Oh, my
Riddle.
God.
Question mark. The Riddler. And Alfred's like, yes, sir. Good work, Master Wayne. Good work. Known this for, like, fucking 2 months. I've known it since we got the first one. I watched him pull up to Wayne Manor and leave it on the gate. We have security footage. It was him all along. And he's like, my God. Enigma. Question. Riddles. The Riddler.
It's not the same guy. It's like sucking people's brains out with television, right?
It has to be him.
The guy who built the giant, like, Blender Island fortress?
with a big bag of money that you found, like, overnight?
Yep.
It's like, hey, there are no records of you being an entrepreneur or even having this money, so you just found it and then started all this industrial shit? Oh, nobody had the internet. There was no research back then.
I remember Edward Nygma's house, and it was awesome, because it was like he lived with, like, a carnival, like, fortune teller thing.
He lived in, like, a janitor's closet in, like, the Spanish Harlem of Gotham. That was awesome.
And then Two-Face had, like, the white side of his house and the black side of his house.
So excellent.
One side preferred Drew Barrymore, the other one preferred some other girl.
Yeah.
Like, Dominatrix. Mm.
So anyway,
yes.
I think it's probably going to do it for this week's episode of the Everything Action Cast. Tune in next week. It's that time again for our spring. It's the spring movie preview. So we're going to talk about what's coming out in February, March, and April. Well, a little different like this time because we're just going to like talk about what we're excited about, not rating everything.
It'll be better for everyone.
Yes. So definitely come back and check that out. If you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. We got a bunch of crazy new features going on for 2011. We have, our live blog that we've been mentioning this entire show. Hopefully you tuned in to our Mega Shark vs. Giant Octopus live blog.
It was great.
It's like the generic, like, insert later.
Yes. I really enjoyed the aspect of our chat.
The movie Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus was really good.
For the week of...
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then also, reviews are back. Hopefully on a frequent basis. You can check out my review of Death Race 2 over at the site. Maybe if you guys see something, you can write a review for it.
Absolutely.
You can find us on Facebook at our Facebook group. Just search on Facebook for Everything Action, and you can join our group. You can see all the news stories and comment on them. Some exclusive stuff on the Facebook group. So definitely check that out. You can email us at contact@everythingaction.com.
Twitter, motherfucker.
Yeah, twitter.com/EVAction. Joe's running that up. Retweets a bunch of stories. Leaves witty commentary.
And sometimes treats you to live tweets during movies.
Yes.
Like today for Reanimator. I'm sorry, for Tuesday.
Or Thursday.
Whenever the fuck I watched it. Reanimator.
Yep. And you can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes by searching for Everything Action in iTunes. And you can rate us on there, leave comments. And also on there is our app, which you can get the last 20 news stories from the site and also listen to the podcast in there. So for Joe and Chris and Brian, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.